Today I'm going to be speaking on living in hope alongside a world in turmoil. So that's the title of my talk today. So let us start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. We thank you that we have free access to it. And as we look at this passage today, will you change each and every one of us? Will you speak to each and every one of us? Come, Holy Spirit, and guide us. And from Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this parable is explaining the kingdom of heaven, which is quite hard to understand. I've sort of thought about it, and it's the now and the not yet, because occasionally we get glimpses of it, don't we? We see glimpses of God working through our lives. But sometimes we can't see it. We can't see those glimpses of God. And I was speaking to my daughter about this. She did a sermon on it a couple of weeks ago about the kingdom of heaven. And her analogy was her potty training her two-year-old. So he's without his nappies during the day. And yes, he's free because he's not wearing nappies. But he's had a few accidents and it's all a bit messy. So it's a bit like that. Now that we have see glimpses of God, but there's a lot of mess for us to try and get our heads around. But of course, we don't see the kingdom of heaven fully until Jesus returns. And so in this parable, Jesus goes on to explain the parable of the weeds, and it's sometimes called the parable of the tares. And he says, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, which is Jesus. The field is the world that we live in, and the good seed stands for the kingdom, the people of the kingdom, which is us, the spirit-filled Christians, the people that follow him, that believe in Jesus. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and they're not necessarily evil people. They could be just those that don't understand Jesus, have not turned to Jesus, because we're either on his side, on Christ's side, or we're not. And when we're not on Christ's side, we are on the side of the enemy. And the enemy is who sows the weeds, is the devil, Satan, the enemy, whatever we want to call him. But we have to be assured and confident that Jesus is above anything and everything that the enemy does. And the harvest is at the end of the age when Jesus returns and the harvesters, his angels. So the wheat and the weeds, they grow alongside each other. And I was reading around this, and I was reading about the tares, which is the weeds. And when they're growing, when they first start, the weeds wrap themselves around the wheat. And that's why Jesus says, no, don't pull them out. Wait till the end of time. Wait till the harvest. But they grow together. And actually, when I was... it reminded me of when I was 13, my dad gave me a job on the farm. He was a farm manager, and because I wasn't old enough to go out and get jobs outside, he gave me little jobs that nobody else wanted to do, basically. And one of them was roguing the corn. And before the harvester came into the field of wheat, I would go up and down the roads with my rows with my transistor radio, listening to Radio One and all the, you know, the 70s pop and all of that. Yeah, it was great. And to go up and down the rows. And what I used to do is to bend down and look at the horizon, and you'd see the wild oats. And I had to pull out the wild oats and put them in a bag. And he used to take them away and burn them. He said, don't throw them on the side of the field because the wind will just blow it back onto the corn. So that was my roguing the corn. And I loved it, actually. It was great. And so to make the corn pure, so that when it went into the corn dryer, there were no oats, you know, these wild oats. It was just pure wheat. So anyway, so so this was just before the harvester came in, the combine came into the field. So it reminded me of that, because they grew, the weeds grew alongside the wheat. And we live in a world when we are surrounded by, the weeds are like what's planted by the enemy, and we are surrounded by evil, aren't we? We've only got to look at the news. And closer to home, we've only got to look at what's going on in our families and what's going on in our community, sometimes with sickness, with difficult situations, stressful situations, tragedies in family, broken relationships. There's violence that we see here, there and everywhere, addictions to drugs and alcohol and pornography and other sites on the internet, gender confusion, wars, famines, global warming. The works of the enemy are there. In fact, you know, the enemy prowls, doesn't he, as a masquerades as the angel of light to deceive us. Because we are being born again Christians, it doesn't mean to say that that the enemy doesn't get to us. He does, and he deceives us. And he also, it says in 1 Peter 5, that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for somebody to devour. And in Romans 8, the passage that we had alongside, it says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you will die spiritually, that is. And but if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body and you will live spiritually. And it's if we focus on the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives each and every day, that is where we stay strong in the Lord. So let's talk about these weeds. They grow together, and I've told you about the roguing the corn. And we have to live alongside maybe people or situations that are of Satan, or are of the devil. But it reminded me of when Jesus was on the cross. He had criminals on each side. One couldn't care less. The other one said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him at that last moment of this man's life and said, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's never too late. And very often, I've got friends that are in prison ministry, and these hardened criminals turn to Christ. There are a lot of people that, Christians, that go into prisons, and they turn to Christ, and some of them actually become vicars, amazingly enough. And it's what God refers to in Isaiah about beauty from ashes. And he doesn't waste a thing. He uses our mistakes to help him to build up his kingdom when we repent. Where after we've repented, obviously, we have to do that first. And recently, I did, last couple of weeks ago, I did a course titled Wellbeing in the Church. And he was referring to so many mental health issues that we have inside and outside the church. And because the world is aching for truth, and they don't know how to, a lot of people don't know how to find it. And there's a movement at the moment of Generation Z, which is the 18 to 30 year olds, walking into churches, just walking in, looking for truth, because they can't find it out there in the world, because they're so disillusioned by what they've been told and what they're learning, and in John 14 verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus has been pushed gently, subtly, but surely, out of the schools, out of the education system. He's been pushed out of the hospitals, multinational companies and the like. We don't have to look very far to see that he has been ousted out, surely, but slowly and subtly, because that is the work of the enemy. And it's up to us, as the who know the Lord Jesus, to offer it. By the way we live, by the way we can turn situations round to look at it from a godly perspective, and how to apply the Bible to our everyday lives. The gospel is attractive to those that don't know it, particularly for those who are struggling with life or simply disillusioned with what modern life has to offer them. Jesus is the light of the world, and he has chosen us all to be shining lights for the kingdom of God. But we can only do it through him and through his Holy Spirit. So in summary, that I have 3 points. So let us live a life worthy of being a child of God, as is mentioned in Romans 8, adopted into the kingdom, being co-heirs with Christ. And yes, we fall short, and it doesn't matter to Jesus so long as we go before him and repent, to turn away from our sins and the works of the enemy and turn to Christ and asking him to fill us with the Holy Spirit each and every day. Secondly, let us speak hope, the hope of Christ, into the world, hope into a hopeless situation, to show unbelievers that Jesus is the only way, he is the only truth, and he is the only way to eternal life. The only way to the Father, God, is through Christ. And thirdly, in Romans 8, it says in verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not comparing, not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We have so much to look forward to. When we are going through a difficult time, he doesn't necessarily take those problems away, but he can change our attitude towards them, or he can give us the strength and the patience to get us through those situations. Because this is what he says in John 16. He said, in this world you will have trouble. I've got Christian friends that think because they're Christians, they shouldn't have problems. That's not what it says in the Word of God. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But he goes on to say, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He knows he's with us through it all. Because he never leaves us or forsakes us. So in the kingdom of God, we are living in the now, but the not yet. We have to live alongside this broken world, these weeds. But fear not, for Jesus is always with us. And we have that hope. And in Romans 24, but that hope that is seen is no hope at all. We don't see hope, do we? Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait patiently, and that's tough. And sometimes it can be excruciating to wait patiently for that hope to be revealed. So let us pray. And I'm going to say that the end of Psalm 139, which is today's psalm, are these words, which are a great prayer that I try to remember to pray every day. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord Jesus, help us to be hopeful in all circumstances, and particularly when the world around us is in turmoil. Help us to speak hope into the lives of the hopeless. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit as we go out into the world to shine your light into those that don't know you. We pray all these things through Jesus' name. Amen.